All right, good morning. God bless you all. I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a blessing to be here with you all this morning. Miss those that are not here. One brother texted this morning and said he wasn't going to make it. And I just said it won't be the same without you. It isn't. But it's a blessing that whether, like the song said, whether here or there, we're still together. So praise the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. God, we just ask that you would help us to be faithful to you. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Lord, kindle those desires for you, Father. Help us, Lord, to utilize those gifts that you've given, Father, that we might draw nearer to you, be more like you, Father. Again, we just ask that you would give us your words this morning. That you would lead us, Father, into where you would have us go. Help us understand. Father, again, we thank you for all that you do for us. Help us again in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. Open your Bibles to John. We'll begin there this morning. I want to begin in verse 54. John chapter 8, verse 54. Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. And you have not come to know him, but I know him. And if I say that I do not know him, I will be a liar like you, but I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." I'll just stop there for a minute. These words that he's saying, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me. They were accusing him of bringing glory to himself because he was talking about people keeping his word. And then it says, "And you have not come to know him, but I know him, and I say that I do not, if I say that I do know him, I will be a liar." These words, just this whole dialogue here in chapter 8, but these words, what I want to just start at, sounded horrible to the religious people of the day. I mean, people that were talking about being humble and being simple, religious people, and would never say anything like this about themselves. And then here's this man comes along and just says these things about himself. And they were horrified that a man could speak that way. How arrogant, how proud by people who were so humble. But when you look and realize who we're talking about here, this is Jesus. And these religious people who were accusing him of being arrogant and proud, it was their own arrogance and pride that kept them from receiving him, knowing about him. He said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and yet you have seen Abraham." Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am." Therefore they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. What I want to focus on this morning is that Jesus just simply said that I am. That was something that was attributed to God, and that's why they wanted to stone him, because he was associating himself with deity by saying, "I am." Jesus being I am, if he would have tried to have been anything else than what he was, he would have been a liar. He would have been a phony. He would have been a fake. And that's what upset these people so much. That he was a man who just was what he is. I am. We've talked about before that because Jesus is I am, we can be who we are. Him being I am, to be in a right relationship with him, is we have to be. If we try to put on something other than we are not, we cannot associate with I am. Good and confused? I am is who he was. And what he expects us to be is who we are. He was simply who he was. It appeared to them like he was arrogant and proud, because they were used to seeing people who were putting on a show, pretending to be nothing, pretending to be nobodies, pretending to be nothing. But when he simply said, "I am," it enraged them. Because in reality, they were thinking of themselves as the I am, and putting on a show that they were nothing. All that God wants of us is to be. These verses that were read this morning in Matthew chapter 6, this whole chapter, so neat. "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven." Then he goes on and talks about giving to the poor. And the question is implied that, well, do we, that means not even to do it? No. And we look at this and we try to figure out how we can do this and still not be wrong in our doing it. And so we work out the formula that I'll just do this and make sure nobody sees it, and then I'm good. Because the point of the whole thing is we're trying to do this to impress God by the way we're doing it His way, instead of just doing it the way the Pharisees would do it. And so we've figured out a way to be able to keep His commandments the right way, instead of just doing this, being. We would think that if we're helping somebody and somebody comes along and sees us, oh man, it blew it then. They saw us. But that's not the way Jesus would do things. Jesus did things and people saw him do them. But he did them because of who he was, not because of trying to impress somebody. That's what he's trying to bring out here. be what God wants you to be. Most religion is so selfish, it stinks to the high heavens. Because we're trying to perform and do things just the way they're supposed to be so that we become something. Instead of being what God wants us to be. We put religion inside of the church. And so we try to do these religious things, and coming together at church to church is just part of our religious duty. And we try to perform all our religious duties so we look proper to others and proper to God. Most religion is synthetic. We're trying to create the atmosphere or the appearance instead of being whatever we are at whatever level we are and being open and just being honest and just being what we are. We try to put on this synthetic appearance. Jesus talked about in John, he said, all men will know you because of your love one for another. So what do? We say, well, I've got to love people so Jesus will know who I am. And the world will know who I am. So I'm going to love my brother and I'm going to love my sister so that everyone will know. And so we spend our life figuring out how to love someone. So we create this system where we can all get along and it appears like we love everybody. But the world isn't affected by it. It's just another form of acting to them. We love people because we actually do love them. Not because we're trying to create something. We love them because we have actually tasted God's love for us. And His mercy for us. We've talked about forgiveness. You know, most people can't forgive. They may put on a show about forgiving. But the reason they can't forgive is because they've never been forgiven themselves. Whenever you experience forgiveness, real forgiveness, you have been forgiven, it's dropped, it's gone. You can then give that to someone else. When someone actually shows you mercy and you've experienced that mercy, you can then turn and give that mercy to someone else. But most of us are just trying to fake forgiveness and fake mercy because we don't know anything about it ourselves. And that's why love has to be real as well. We can't just fake it. That's why we have to have so much organization and so many rules and so many different things so that we can get along with each other, because we really don't know just how to love each other the way God loves us. It takes a tearing down of all the plastic, a taking away of all the synthetic, a taking away all the fake, taking away all the good appearances, and just being what we are. That's all we're going to be when we stand before the Lord. We have this idea that somehow, when we get to heaven, that we're going to just be something that we've not ever been in this world, ourselves. That's all we're going to be when we get there. That's all God is going to see. He doesn't see all the fake, except with a sick stomach. He doesn't see all the phony, except with a nauseating belly ache. He knows what we are. Whenever we accept ourselves as what we are, then we have something to build on, something to grow. That doesn't mean you just go do whatever you want to. That means that's what Jesus was talking about our heart. He talked about the Pharisees that, oh, beautiful sepulchers on the outside, but inside full of dead men's bones. They had the religion, but they weren't who they were. Whenever we can be what God wants us to be, we might not appear too great to everybody else. But that's what Jesus was. I am. I am. He was exactly who He was. When we can just humble ourselves and be who we are and trust the Lord with all our heart. These verses here talk about trusting God with our future. Be anxious for nothing. The cure for anxiety, the Bible says in this part of it. Taking thought for tomorrow. Worried about what's going to happen. See, this is where real faith comes in. Real faith is not just saying a prayer and thinking that Jesus died for me and now I'm forgiven and going to heaven. Boom. I remember growing up and that was the focus. That my life was going to be changed because I believed that Jesus died for me and rose again. And I tried and tried and tried to experience this. And then start putting on a show about what had happened. Instead of trusting God. You know, we're so worried about performing so often. We're so worried about how we appear to others. And we begin to fake it. And it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger until it's its own thing. And that's my religion. We get so anxious and we get so nervous because we can't quite perform up to what we're expected. Instead of trusting God. When we recklessly abandon ourselves to God, trust Him for the decisions that I need to make. Trust Him for my life. Trust Him with my soul. See, we're trying to hold on to all this stuff ourselves. We're trying to fix it ourselves. We're trying to fix our problems. We're trying to go to heaven. We're trying to do this. We're trying to do that. Instead of throwing it and saying, God, I'm going to trust You with all of that. One of the most transforming things in my life was one day I just said, God, I was trying to find an assurance, a way that I could know I was going to go to heaven. And then I realized I deserve to go to hell. And that's all I am. I am nothing more than that. And if I get to the end of my life and I stand before the Lord and He says, you deserve to go to hell, God is just. It's His call. Not just so I can do whatever I want, but to get that out of the way and trust Him with all these things. Quit being so worried about myself and trust the Lord. And that's what He's talking about. When we can truly lay all that aside and trust God with my soul, an amazing thing happens. He takes care of it. He takes over. All the anxiousness, worry about heaven and hell is in His hands now. And now I'm going to be what He wants me to be. That's what faith is. Faith is letting go, not only of your problems, but letting go of yourself. Letting go of the things that don't belong to you. Letting go of your concern. And trusting the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 5. Says, for every high priest taken from among men is appointed on behalf of men in things pertaining to God in order to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. You know, when we think about this high priest, we've got this idea of religion. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed on behalf of men in things pertaining to God. In order to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins, he can deal gently with the ignorant and misguided, since he himself also is beset with weaknesses. You know, we look for the qualifications and things about a preacher, and we go down this list. And we find people that are going to be the preacher, and they've groomed their lives and they've groomed their children, and everything is just so that they fit those qualifications. And that everything is just right. But right here, Jesus talks about, or the Bible talks about, the high priest. Says he can deal gently with the ignorant and misguided, since he himself also is beset with weaknesses. I think if we don't have this qualification, none of the rest of them matter. Most of us don't see ourselves beset with weaknesses. We see our perfections. We see how we've got it all in order. That's why when we're dealing with the misguided and erring, we're quick to uphold all that's right and good and holy. But we don't know how to deal with people. Because we're not one ourselves first. See, this was just a man picked out among men on behalf of men. Not a super spiritual saint, but someone who's just who they are, knowing their own weaknesses, like Jesus was able to be I am. This high priest he's talking about was able to be because he was who he was. in Matthew. It talks in chapter 6. It goes on and it talks about prayer. Not to do it out in front of others, but to get alone. Not to teach us how to perform, but to teach us who to be, who we are with God. We see it as a performance, doing our duty. Oh, I got to pray. It's time to pray. The purpose of prayer, we've talked about this before, the purpose of prayer is not to change God's mind on things. And that's what we think about. Oh, I'll pray about it. And so we pray so we can fix God so He can change it to our way of thinking. The purpose of prayer is for us to get in line with God's will. And the only way we can do that is when we let God see us when we're all by ourselves. And we see ourselves as we are, all by ourselves. Then we can say, Lord, I'll trust You with this. I'll trust You with this. You guide my life. You take control of my life. And let me just be what I need to be going through it. Get rid of all the performances. Let me be what I am. Someone that loves God, loves his neighbor as himself. And just be that. We are what we are. When Jesus said, I am, He was just being what He was. And they all went and got a bunch of rocks and was going to get rid of that. They didn't want no part of that. There's so much pressure for us to perform instead of just be what God wants us to be. That doesn't mean just be your own self and do whatever you want to do. That's all selfish too. It means coming before God and saying, I'll be what You want me to be. A lot of people think they're being honest just because they go live however they want to. That's just as selfish as anything else. Get to the real heart of the problem. Get rid of yourself. And be what you were created to be by God. He didn't come to make us born again into some new spiritual, holy saint. He came, being born again means to be born into what He created us in the first place for. To be a man and to be a woman. To love God with all your heart. And all the other stuff, all the worries and fears and all that stuff that we just won't let God have because we think we can handle it ourselves and do better than He can. This other place in Hebrews talks about two undisputed things. That God is who He is and that He cannot lie. God is good and He knows what's best. He created you to be a man. He created you to be a woman. And when you just submit to that and trust Him, it's amazing what kind of faith and how little of that kind of faith there is in the world. And how simple it is. God is good and worthy to be trusted. but I am too smart for that. Because he might make something bad happen to my life. And I'm going to fix it, and I'm not going to let it. Because I'm smarter than he is, and I'm better than he is. Isn't that what we're really saying when we don't trust him? That's not being very honest. May the Lord add his blessings. Because he is the I am, we can be what he created us to be. You want to have anything you'd like to share?
The idea of the word I am gives, the idea is that he just is. He doesn't, it's not like you said, he is, but this idea that goes around sometimes that God doesn't know the future is completely blown away by that.
Mm-hmm.
If he is, he already knows everything can be done.
Right.
Because he is. Not only knows the past and the present, but he knows the future. Because he is. He's not, time isn't relevant to God as far as, he's not hindered by time. Like we are. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow because it's not here yet. But God's not hindered by tomorrow not being here yet.
Right.
As he is. And just made me think of that. And also, as you said there at the end about, I really don't believe that he is going to take care of the best or something. The arrogance in that. You know, and saying that basically that's what we're saying when we do it our way.
Mm-hmm.
And that made me think of that too.
And some people are bewildered by the, because God knows everything, it doesn't matter. Well, you're making choices right now. And he's the same today as tomorrow. And you have the same opportunity. He's not got your life all mapped out for you. Unless you let him map it out for you. You can do whatever you want to do. And he knows where that ends. He knows where that goes. But when you trust him and let him map it out, he already knows the future.
Come on!